If you're an RIA or looking to become one, Schwab Advisor Services is the Watson to your homes. Smart, dependable, always has your back. It's no mystery why they're the number one choice for RIAs who want to be the ultimate solution for their clients. With all the wealth services, technology, and support your firm needs, the difference is so obvious, it's Schwabvious. Follow the clues at schwabvious.com.
Welcome back, everybody. It's a triumphant return, not for Terry from his Florida retreat, but for Rafa Benitez to La Liga. He says he turned down 30 jobs before choosing Celta Vigo. We'll have a look at some of the key moves so far. Barca are building for the future by signing 32-year-olds. Real Madrid have got another young winger, Arda Güler, who is simultaneously the Turkish Messi, the new Ozil, and a replacement for Karim Benzema. The 18 is going to be busy. Terry, how was the... No long intro, but we've got a lot of transfer business to get through. A couple of managerial moves as well. You've been away, Terry, in your beachside retreat. You haven't missed Mbappe signing for anybody. So it's just like painfully slow progress of that transfer. But Ben Brereton Diaz has signed,
yes,
for Villarreal. So there we are, Blackburn Rovers to La Liga. Big move of the summer so far. Right. How was the holiday?
It was lovely. Really interesting. Keep an eye on it. I do try to have a 2-week sabbatical where I break up one season before looking into the next season, but I can't help looking every now and then. Of course, some big stories do appear, and that Mbappe is clearly the biggest one. Speculation on whether he's going to be playing for Real Madrid. Jude Bellingham went to, that was confirmed in the end. Rafa Benitez, a pleasant surprise. It'll gain some interest in from the people in the UK to see how Rafa Benitez is doing at Celta. I agree with you. If he turned down 30 jobs, did you say?
Yeah.
30. And then Celta Vigo, a club that sack a manager every 5 minutes and don't spend a fortune in the transfer market. So that's an interesting one. But I was talking to people. I think after COVID, people just want to talk to people. So when they go on holiday now, more than ever, people are just, oh, where are you from? Where are you from? How long does it take you to get here? Stuff like that. And I thought a 9-10 hour flight was a long way, but some of the Americans drive 15-20 hours to get to go for a week's holiday, and it's wanted to talk, and nobody knew Lionel Messi. That's the point.
Really?
I was going to make.
They honestly not know.
No.
See, the Americans who listen to us know who Lionel Messi is. They know everything.
Amount of people I spoke to, and they still think Manchester is one club and stuff like that. So.
Right.
They get talking to people, what do you do and stuff like that, and then the sports fanatics, they can tell every university player that's been drafted for the NBA, for the MLS, for the NFL, and soccer is the thing comes up, and they're not that interested in it. I came across very few people.
Did you meet anybody?
Guy supported Manchester.
Right. Okay.
Which one? Yeah. He didn't really know, to be honest. Just Manchester. I said the one that wins.
Well, that's quite convenient, isn't it? So you basically port over from United to City. Yeah.
And the amount of times I said, "Well, it's I'm sure it's going to get bigger now because of Messi," and it just went right over the top of their head. Explain they're possibly signing the best player that's ever played the game is coming to Inter Miami, and one or two even with that Inter Miami. It's just
right. Okay.
So it's. Because we're football, I'm not going to use the word soccer anymore, football, lovers of football, and obviously Messi is big news. We kind of assume, so that everybody in the world knows Lionel Messi, but in America, they don't.
Mm, yeah.
So I guess if you're into soccer in America, football, use that word.
Honestly, use the word soccer. I'm absolutely relaxed about people using the word soccer. People police other people saying... I'm not into policing what people call football clubs. Manchester is obviously just straightforward confusing, but Sporting Club de Portugal. Honestly, I'm not going to police what you call a football club. And if you're American and you want to say soccer, it's fine. It's absolutely fine, isn't it? Because you say, their version of football is the biggest sport there. So
exactly.
And also,
I was just really amazed that I'm explaining who Lionel Messi is. Yeah. I couldn't get out of my head that. You don't know Lionel Messi. And that was the case. Not everybody, but that was by and large.
Similarly,
the large percentage have never heard of Lionel Messi.
If you were on holiday in France or southern England or somewhere in England or whatever, would people have heard of the very best NFL players?
I guess
probably not.
Brady would be the obvious one.
But how many, honestly, you asked around, there are people who love it. But if you asked around, if I walk out in the street now and I start asking people, I don't think people would really know. Or if you prompted them, that's out there, the American football guy. Yeah,
exactly. It's a big job for Lino.
Yeah, so they've got no views on Ben Brereton Diaz at all then. Okay.
So it was interesting. So it was a nice break, and now I'm refreshed and
you're ready to go.
Studying the ins and outs for possible and should be outs at clubs and the incomings at the clubs and it's been lot of speculation still, but
two have actually done some business, haven't they? So this is always the test because there's no league table to hide behind. So right hand or left hand, who are we doing, Barcelona or Real Madrid first? So if the bit of hang on, how are we going to do this? So I've got a bit of cable in my hand. Hang on, I've just showed you. So the cable, you say left or right, and then we start with Barcelona. Hang on.
I'm going to cover your right.
My right hand. Hang on. If you find a bit of cable, then we start with Barcelona. If you don't find the cable, we start with Real Madrid. How's that? So, right, which hand? I couldn't hear you then. Sorry, you dipped out. So say again. Right hand.
Your right hand. Right. Cable.
I've forgotten what I said. So we start with Real Madrid. That's it. That's it. Yes, we start with Real Madrid. There we are. See, we love you all equally. I made that hard work, didn't I? So we start with Real Madrid.
Yep.
So Jude Bellingham, done. We know done. Benzema out. We know is done. Fran Garcia in. Brahim Diaz is in. Asensio's gone to PSG. Benzema has gone to Saudi Arabia. And then Arda Güler, who's come in is it a small fee, 20 million? What's a huge fee for some clubs, isn't it?
I mean,
18-year-old Turkey international has had quite a lot of first-team experience at Fenerbahce, attacking midfielder, winger. I was really on market, can also play as a centre-forward. Like I say, it's like pile a bit of expectation on this young kid.
Who is described as the Turkish Messi.
Yeah.
As you said, Özil as well. Yeah. 20 million is not a lot for Real Madrid, and it's worth a gamble. They have gone down a road in the past which has served them well by investing money in expensive teenagers. And two have come off in spectacular style. Vinicius and Rodrigo, 40 million at the time each, is a big gamble, but they're valuation now certainly exceeds what they paid for them. So that's the program that they've gone down in the past. Now Jude Bellingham has come in, that's a different matter because they're paying around 100 million for him, so that's a different matter altogether. But again, another teenager, but I think he's 20 now, he's 20 last week. They're investing in youth and it's served them well. So it's 20 million I think is worth the gamble. They've obviously done their homework. Other clubs around Europe wanted him. He's much coveted and they've done well to get him. He's a right-footed left winger. So I would say he would be the current replacement for Asensio, possibly. And Asensio was in and out of the team. So it's one of those where he could...
Right-footed left winger?
Left-footed right winger. Left-footed right winger. So he could be... I see him as the replacement for the departed Asensio. Mm.
Yeah.
But then Rodrigo plays that role as well. So he would be ahead of him. Yeah. So at 18, there's plenty of time. You just hope that over the next year, and possibly Ancelotti's last year, which I think is good, we have to talk about that. It looks like it's going to probably be his last year. I'm not sure if he's sold Florentino Perez yet, but the Brazilian FA have pretty much announced it. That's going to be a big story, big talking point this year. Is it going to be a last dance for Ancelotti or... The minute they come under pressure, and if they do lose some games with an end date,
he'll be gone. Yeah.
So a confirmed end date from the manager in his last season of his contract does mean that if they feel that results are not going their way, then up steps Xabi Alonso. allegedly.
Yeah. So not Zidane. Zidane, it'll be gutted. Well, we'll see.
Yeah. So I think it's a wise purchase from Real Madrid. He's obviously very, very talented. Played a lot of football for an 18-year-old. He is good. Given the right time, given the right opportunities, I'm sure he will flourish at Real Madrid.
So what is currently undone for Real Madrid? Mbappe is obviously... I find it... He's quite greedy, Mbappe, isn't he? I know we're talking about footballers. He seems to... He's sort of demanding a payoff from PSG. Everyone's sort of sticking their heels in. From every individual point of view, you can sort of see why you're entitled to stick your heels in and try and get your, you know, you extract your full value and all of that. But the danger is that nothing happens, is it? And that everyone ends up dissatisfied at the end of it.
And a team now where Luis Enrique is the new manager. So the last thing he needs is uncertainty for a season with a player that might carry a problem for him. You know, I think everybody's aware that it's the last year of his contract. PSG have said he's got to sign a new contract to stay. And because if they cannot allow the best player in the world, possibly now, or probably, to leave for free at the end of next season. So I can't see it happening in January, because once you're halfway through this, I'm not going to as well. So I think I actually think it will happen now. Genuine valuation of Mbappe, but with a year left on his contract, I don't think Real Madrid will be in any mood to pay the full weight of the transfer fee that you would normally pay for Mbappe. So, I'm not an expert on this. I don't know what PSG are looking for. I don't know what Mbappe is looking for. And I don't know what Real Madrid are looking to pay. But I think the best outcome would be for Mbappe to leave and go to Real Madrid and PSG receive a very decent amount of money. But how far do you push it if you're Real Madrid when you can get them for nothing next season? But the other problem is, if Benzema was still at the club, then it would be a lot more straightforward. But as we stand, Joselu, who signed on loan from Espanyol for a year, is going to be their centre forward. So, and not being disrespectful to Joselu, but it's Real Madrid. And, you know, you do need a superstar to replace Karim Benzema, because he was a superstar.
Yeah. So is it happening or not?
I think it will.
You think it will?
I think it will.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it'll happen.
And Mbappe needs to stop asking everybody for... Because he sort of wants his payoff. But if they're going to sell him, then you're not entitled to you. You know, if you leave on a Bosman, you are entitled to more money, aren't you? Because your contract was up. If you leave in the midway through a contract and you want to leave, you're not entitled to being paid off, are you?
I couldn't agree more. Yes. And I think, I mean, he's a very wealthy young boy. He's going to be very, very wealthy, very, very wealthy. And I think it's quite fortunate. I mean, snubbed Real Madrid before, that they've gone back for him.
Yeah, to be honest.
I was convinced once he did that, it's happened in the past. If you snub Real Madrid and you snub Florentino Perez after pretty much giving your word that you were going to the club, I would grasp an opportunity if that's where he wants to go. And things are changing at PSG now. They've not won the Champions League. They've gone through all different types of managers. Last season, they had a front line of Neymar, Messi and Mbappe, and that still didn't work. So it's a big change at PSG. Messi's gone. Neymar probably wants to leave, although Luis Enrique might be able to keep him on board. Sergio Ramos has left. Other players are leaving. So it looks like they're going down a different route now, PSG, and Luis Enrique wants to start that on having a little bit more stability than managers have had in the past. So Mbappe might look at that and think, well, it's not Real Madrid anymore. It's PSG maybe being a bit more sensible. So I can see why he would want to go to Real Madrid. But he has to do his part to make it happen, surely.
Right. So I think we'll park Real Madrid there. And we'll go to Barcelona, shall we? So
Ronald, just with Real Madrid, sorry, Ceballos has re-signed, which is a bit of a surprise. because he was one of those that was leaving. I'm not sure if he was one of those that was thrown up in the air with Hazard at the end of the season, and a sense he'd have got thrown up in the air by their teammates. I think so they're well stocked in midfield. I do think they need another right back. They clearly need a centre forward. I'm interested to see how Brahim Diaz does on his return. And I think Fran Garcia is the right thing to do. Not a superstar signing, but he was really good at Raya. And I think it's a position there, which means then players have to move on left back.
Yeah.
Players might have to move on. Camavinga played there ahead of Mundy in the second half of last season. They can play David Alaba at left back as well. We've seen Camavinga play left back. So I'm interested in the players that are coming in, the players that are going to have to be moved on because of financial fair play in Liga. They can't keep everybody. Ancelotti has said that Jesus Vallejo can be moved on. And Odriozola can be moved on. But everybody's known that for a long time. And they're going to have to Mariano Diaz.
But
Mariano Diaz problem where people don't want to leave.
But they've got loads more leeway than everybody else, haven't they, in La Liga? Because they haven't spent a vast amount in recent years. They'd saved the Mbappe money, essentially. And now, with Hazard off
the wage bill, just spent $100 million on Bellingham as well, though.
Yeah, yeah. But
so
even then, Mariano
closer.
Diaz off the wage bill, there's definitely leeway. There's a load. I mean, Mbappe, this is the problem with the FFP being as strict as it is, isn't it? Mbappe is a huge bit of your FFP allowance, even for Real Madrid, isn't he? So him in and him out massively changes everything.
Yeah.
So in a sense, they need to get him. They need to get it done, don't they, if they're getting him?
Yeah.
Because you can't stick him in August the 30th or something, can you? Because then you've got to get everybody who would have to leave. Yeah. And for all, they've got more leeway than everybody else. But even for Real Madrid, they couldn't just find space for Mbappe in that financial jigsaw, could they?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I can't imagine so. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how that pans out with Real Madrid. Their outgoings are not as much as some of the other clubs.
Yeah.
We'll come to Barcelona and Atletico in particular and look at the players they're bringing in and the players that leaves surplus. Also, we have to remember loans returning.
Yeah.
As well.
Shall we do Barcelona now as we're there? So the ins, as I say, the confirmed ins are both 32, which Ronald Koeman...
Haven't been registered, though.
That's true. Who knows? Who will kick this? It's the big asterisk next to every player who signs in our Liga, isn't it? Well, he signed him, but can he actually play football for you? So Ilkay Gundogan and Inigo Martinez, 32-year-olds. Koeman doesn't like it, but they are free transfers and good players. Mm-hmm. Is it the right thing to do?
Yes. Oh, both players, definitely. Yeah. And Inigo Martinez is a player they've been after for a while, and they've got him on a free transfer. I think when he plays at the age of 30, it doesn't look as if he's ageing. He's in good nick, good shape, and I think he's the left-sided central defender that they've needed, to be honest. Yeah. So I think he's a good signing, and Gundogan is a fabulous signing.
Yeah.
And certainly looked in good nick for a 32-year-old. So it's the model they're using at the moment. You know, we talked about Real Madrid buying young players because they can, but Barcelona, you know, need to manipulate the market. It shows it's still a pull for clubs, for players to go to Barcelona. And we saw Lewandowski go there last season. We saw Frankie de Jong didn't want to leave the club. And Gundogan, after having an incredible season for Manchester City, where he was a huge part of what they achieved, huge part. Out of contract, and I can understand on one hand a new challenge, but also the you know, being lured to Barcelona, being wanted by Barcelona was something he couldn't resist, couldn't turn down. So no, I think he's a fabulous addition, and I'm looking forward to seeing him play for Barcelona. I don't know where and how he will fit in. I don't know where he's going to fit in because it will be at the expense of somebody else. But of course, Busquets has moved on, but. I don't see Gundogan as a holding midfielder.
No.
You know, he could do it, but De Jong is not the obvious one.
Yeah.
You've got Pedri and Gavi.
Yeah. So that, how does it work together? What do you start? First game of the season, they're all fit.
De Jong is the holding midfielder.
Okay.
And if they're all fit, we have to then include the front players that are fit. So assume Dembele's fit, so he plays. Do you play Rafinha, Dembele, Lewandowski up front? Do you play De Jong as the holding midfielder? I'm guessing that Pedri and Gundogan, but you're leaving out Gavi, or do you play Gavi in the front three that we saw Xavi do so much this season, or Pedri in the front three? So I guess in a perfect world, you know, any manager of a big club knows that there's going to be a lot of times where you don't have everybody fit.
You rarely you play need, your... You, yeah. I know we yeah. always look at the 11, but how many times do you play your best 11 in the course of a season?
Exactly.
A handful of times, I guess, isn't it? Because you've got so many games coming thick and fast. Vitor Roque, extensive research into 18-year-old.
Well, extensive. I've watched what
watched
I can.
Him on YouTube. Yeah,
basically. Turn the music down and watch him on YouTube. He looks fabulous. So, same as Gurley. So we got these two youngsters that,
yeah.
I mean, they're paying, Barcelona paying, I think it's 40 million euros for him, but no one knows when. They've agreed a deal. A deal has been done. Paranaense is his club in Brazil. He's got an international cap. He's 18. They see him as a cover or replacement for Lewandowski, but he's nothing like Lewandowski.
No, because he's quite little, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he's not well, when I say not little, I'm 5'4", so to me, he's not definitely not
like a giant.
He looks about 5'8", 5'9", or something like that. He's 18 years of age, but he looks the real deal. I mean, he does look a genuine centre forward. He's not your traditional number nine, but he is a centre forward. So they're not sure whether it's going to be now, January, or next summer. Mm. And I guess with Lewandowski there and the other players they've got at Barcelona, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world for an 18-year-old to continue his first-team football at his current club and join the club next year when they hope, of course, that things have settled down financially.
Yeah.
But it's quite a strange one that a club has agreed a deal knowing full well that could be the case, where I'm sure there are other clubs that could pay that money that would pay it now.
Yeah, because Paranaense must be getting some of that 40 million now, mustn't they?
Yeah, otherwise there's no point.
Yeah, so, yeah. I guess that's
selling.
Yeah.
So he looks good. But it does bring into attention the players that are coming back to the
so
club, the players they've already got at the club. And I've got such a long list.
Barcelona in particular, isn't it? Well, Sevilla, we'll get to Sevilla later, but Barcelona. So who's back? So Nico Gonzalez is back. Can he play? Or is he not going to play? Or what's going to happen?
Can he play as in...
Is he good enough to force his way into that midfield?
Probably not, no.
Right, yeah.
But I think he's a young player that did relatively well at Valencia. Yeah. So he might be one that Barcelona loan out again.
Because
that increases his value. If they sell him now, they're not going to get a fortune for him. But if they find the right club to send him out on loan, he has a really good season, he could be worth 20, 30 million in a year's time. So I think he's one they would look to keep on board and loan out. Serginho Dest is back.
Yeah.
Clement Longley is back. Having signed Inigo Martinez, do you need Marcos Alonso now?
Yeah.
Do you need Eric Garcia? I've got the list of possible outs. Dest and Soufati, if this Vitor Roque does come into the club. I mean, he found some form at the end of last season. He's a talented player. He's had obviously injury problems and finding it hard to get regular playing time. If a big offer come in for Ansu Fati, then you know he might be one. So it's a big question mark. Ferran Torres, does he need to stay at Barcelona? There was talk of him going to Aston Villa, I think it was, with Unai Emery. Eric Garcia, do you need him in the total list of centre backs that you've got?
No.
Christensen was really good last season, so
they've given up on Eric Garcia, haven't they? They've seen what the rest of us saw ages ago.
Well, no, they saw him as a Busquets replacement, didn't they, at the end of last season?
Yeah,
so that might be an option that he stays in the squad to fulfill that role, to help the load with Frankie de Jong. As I say, Longley is back, Abde. We had a really good season. That's a really good example of a player being out on loan whose value increases to the extent that probably Osasuna would like him, but probably couldn't afford him now. So I think Barcelona would get decent money for him.
But what's decent money, isn't it, is the question, isn't it? Because if Osasuna, decent money for Osasuna versus decent money for a Premier League team. So if you hit the threshold where you catch the eye of Premier League managers, totally different.
Yeah.
Financial
I think 10 would be decent, but too much for Osasuna.
Yeah, 10, yeah.
But then then you look at 15, 20 for Premier League club.
Yeah.
It's a weird old world, the transfer market. So yeah.
But then
he did well at Osasuna.
Half the Premier League is managers are Spanish now, aren't they? Well, how many?
Yeah, yeah.
There's quite a lot, and specifically Basque.
Or La Liga managers, yeah. And then Sergio Roberto is another one.
Yeah, surely.
He's one of the bigger earners at the club because it was Pique, Busquets, Jordi Alba and Sergio Roberto were the four that were often blamed for the financial problems at Barcelona, and you kept hearing them signing new contracts where they were getting less money and deferred payments and stuff like that. And Sergio Roberto, surprisingly, was always on that list, which I could never understand. He's a really good player, good midfield player. He's been adequate at times at right back, great personality, but he should never have been in that list of highest earners at Barcelona because he's never really held down a regular spot in the first team.
No.
But as a first choice player. So where do you choose to play him now? He's not going to be in midfield with the arrival of Gundogan and the emergence of Pedri and Gavi. Frank Kessie is there as well. And would you rely on Sergio Roberto being your right back in the Champions League games next year and Clásicos? Probably not is the answer. Koundé has been playing there. He doesn't want to play there. He wants to revert back to being a centre-back. So they're well stocked. I think they need a new right back. I think that's clear. And as I say, it's interesting to see the departures that are going to happen to Barcelona because they literally can't keep all these players and bring in new players. And other names are still being speculated as joining Barcelona. They still have that pull despite their troubles. So it's going to be interesting. Tough old job, you know, the director of football job at one of these big clubs where your focus is on bringing players in. But the hardest thing in the world at times, as we've seen with Mariano Diaz and players like that, that you know, they don't want to be moved on. They and want to stay
long
at Real Madrid,
list of loans.
Stay at Barcelona, and the loans, you think you've dealt with it, you're not. You're just kicking the can down the road, and then all of a sudden, you know, Serginho Des turns up again, and Clement Longley turns up again, and for Real Madrid, they've chosen to take Brahim Diaz back, and they've chosen to take Fran Garcia back, but. There's been others at Real Madrid in the past that have turned up again. You think, oh, he's back. I thought he'd left. Yeah, he had left. But
the problem is that whoever Serginho Dest can play for, the level that he's at, the money will be a fraction of what Barcelona will be paying him, isn't it? So they must have been paying a massive chunk of his wages last year. And I guess the same thing will happen again, isn't it? But, you know, but at the same time, they need to get as much of that wage paid as they can, because it's otherwise it's going on their FFP bill restriction. Yeah, right. Any other business for Barcelona, or are we there waiting and seeing?
I think
what happens?
Aurea Romeo is an interesting one, and they've been linked with Fresneda.
Right,
which makes sense if you can get him at the right price.
So how good? Because again, both.
I think he is good.
Everyone needs a right back. So how good is he?
He's very good. He's 18. He was in and out of the team at Valladolid, so I was always surprised with the big money links to Premier League clubs.
Arsenal,
and I think Juventus as well. They never happened, so I wonder whether it was just good PR from his agent. He got luck. You know, clubs in England were interested in him. I spoke to clubs who had no idea about him, but they wanted to know about him because they'd read stuff. So it does does work. You know, pulling that trick and getting him lots of publicity and stuff does help. And I'm sure with Valladolid being relegated, the fee might be a little bit more sensible. So I can understand that. I know Aurea Romeo might surprise a lot of people. I actually think he's decent. I think he's a good player. And I think he could do a job for Barcelona in midfield as a holding midfield player alongside Frankie de Jong. I think he's the standard that he could deal with that. So I think that'd be an interesting one again, which bringing him in, means some of those I took about Eric Garcia fulfilling that role. There's no need for Eric Garcia. So the hardest job for the director, which is Deco now at Barcelona, who's the sporting director, the hardest job is going to be moving players on. It's always going to be easy to attract players to Barcelona, even if you're relying on free transfers, experienced players, they'll want to come. But it's moving those players on, otherwise you're
really
stuck.
Hard to pick up the threads of this, isn't it, coming in as a sporting director? Just so much to get your head around, isn't there?
Yeah.
How much people are on their contracts when their contracts are up.
You'd have to go and loan a dark room, wouldn't you, on September 1st? Yeah. For the director of football at Barcelona.
Well, it's not done at September the 1st. You're still trying to register players for another 6 weeks after yeah. that. You've still got some Brazilian who you paid for.
There's always a
for.
Transfer market open somewhere in the world, yeah. isn't there, after the window closes that you're trying to move. Oh, suddenly we start. Was it Turkey?
Turkey goes on later,
it might
doesn't
have been
it?
Open.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, then it's suddenly this mad rush to get players to Turkey or to Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, 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 yeah. But that's the other factor
that's
because
convenient for Chelsea, isn't it? That everyone yeah. in Saudi Arabia wants their players.
Yeah, well, that's the but that's the new Premier League factor, isn't it? And there's an irony, of course, for you know those of us who've watched La Liga for a long time, now seeing people who only watch the Premier League say, "Well, this is outrageous! They're coming along with loads of money yeah. and distorting the transfer market," and everyone else in the world is, yes,
yeah."
Funny you mentioned that.
The wages market, not so much the transfer market, yeah. it's the wages market, isn't it? That's the. I love N'Golo Kanté. He's a great player, been a great player. Was it 100 million a year he's getting?
It makes sense. The lack of plan for the Saudi Arabian money. Now, I know, again, people, your La Liga clubs and clubs in other European countries who've carefully planned their budgets and created good squads on a carefully planned budget,
yeah.
looking at the Premier League, chucking 30, 40, 50 million quid around.
Yeah,
you're doing it wrong. You're just chucking money yeah. around. yeah. I'm now looking at Saudi Arabia, thinking, "Well, you're just chucking money. What yeah. are you doing? There's no plan. You're yeah. just throwing money around. What are you doing? You could because the amount of money they've spent in Saudi Arabia, they could have the best squads in the world
yeah.
if they've done it properly. But
I mean, let's not forget, it's always been an ambition of Steven Gerrard to go and match. What was the name of
they?
The
we had team? Posters on his wall, didn't they, when he was a kid?
yeah. So, it's that will be an option. I don't know if there is a transfer window in Saudi Arabia. Probably a really big one and really expensive. but it's, that's going to be an option for people like Deco that want to move players on.
Absolutely. Could change the whole nature of it, couldn't it? If you can sell a player off. So, you know, like you say, I suppose they're not paying massive transfer fees, which is good for the rest of us, I think, isn't it? If they want to spend their money paying fortunes to fading football stars, you know, fine. Atletico Madrid, we need to do. So in this world of mad transfer deals, Terry, 5 million quid for Javi Galán.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Really? I'm not even sure that's a profit for Celta,
yeah.
to be honest. I think they paid about that for him from, I think it was Huesca. And I think it was good at Huesca. They got relegated. I thought I did speak to clubs in England, recommended him to clubs in England. No chance. I'm never going to look at a player that was relegated with Huesca as a left-back. Mm. And he's gone to Celta and he's shown his worth. So I think it's a, is it a position that needed fulfilling? Probably was, although Reinildo is capable of playing there after his recovery from a long-term injury. He did play left-sided centre-back. He played left-back. Carrasco has played there as well. Hermoso has played there. But as a recognised proper wing-back, I think Javi Galán fits the bill for 5 million, a real snip.
Mm. Other than that, they've signed they've signed Santiago Mourinho, who is a Uruguayan centre back. Don't know much about him. They haven't paid a lot of money, but it could, you know, it's worked for them in the past, hasn't it? And then Azpilicueta and Chala Soyuncu, who both come from the Premier League, both on frees. What do you think? Do they need them both? Yeah,
I get Soyuncu because he's a decent age, and I'm surprised. I looked at his stats from last season; he barely played, and Leicester got relegated. It all looked very childish from. I think it was Brendan Rodgers in the main that chose not to play a player who refused to sign a new deal, whose contract was going to run out at the end of the season. Yet Leicester were always in a relegation fight and needed one of their better players to play. So I'm surprised that situation wasn't dealt with better by Leicester. We kind of have that in the Premier League. The clubs still get the ump with a player that's not signing a deal and then start not playing him and stuff like that. Whereas abroad, it doesn't. It doesn't seem to be an issue. It's part of the deal.
Yeah, adapt to it. Yeah,
you're paying his wages for a year. As long as his attitude's right, then use the player for that year. Why pay the salary if you're not going to play?
Yeah.
So I get Soyuncu. I don't get Azpilicueta. I must admit, I really don't. I think numbers wise, they're well stocked at centre back. There was massive improvement last year when they finally stuck to the three at the back, and it worked. Players were playing better. Hermoso finally found form. They'd already moved Felipe on, who I think was a bit of an issue. They moved Renan Lodi on, but he's back again as well. So we're talking about the left back position. So I assume he's going to be sold. So it's, but as Pellegrini, I don't see him playing as a wing back. If you're playing that, Molina is fabulous, as good as there is in La Liga at playing that position. And if you need cover, Llorente can play there.
Yeah.
And maybe possibly one or two others that we didn't possibly think about in an emergency. So I don't see Azpilicueta playing as a right-sided wing-back. And numbers-wise, I don't see the numbers now they've signed Soyuncu, which must, it leads me to believe that, and you said Santiago Moreno, it leads me, well, I know literally nothing about, it leads me to believe that maybe one or two of those regular centre-backs are going to be sold.
Yeah.
Now, the jewel in the crown would be Jose Jimenez, I would imagine, because of age and the experience he's got. I'd hate to see him leave Atletico Madrid. I think he's one of the final remaining players that really sort of thrived under Simeone, as that Simeone mentality and the attitude and characteristics you need as an Atletico centre-back. I hate to see him leave. I think Savic still does a decent job. Everyone recognises that when those two play, Atletico are better at the back. As I said, Witzel played there last season and did okay as well. And Hermoso found from Reinildo, that will probably be his position when he comes back from his injury. So now you have Soyuncu and now Santiago Moreno. And I don't understand the Azpilicueta move. I think he's a really good player. He's been a fantastic player. But I don't see where he fits in numbers-wise at the central defence for Atletico.
And wages-wise, because they're another one out there with a host of returning players. Kondogbia's gone.
Yeah.
They've got a fee for him. But João Félix, obviously, who wasn't there the second half of last season, massive return of money. Cunha is back, I think. And then Riquelme and Lino, so they went away, you know, to develop. Are they coming back potentially playing, or are they...
Well, Lino, yes.
Yeah.
I think Lino goes back into the squad.
Into the squad and plays, yeah.
He signed and went to Valencia. He's never been part of Atletico's squad yet. And I think they saw more than enough last season that he should be back and in the squad.
Yeah.
Riquelme was talking of going to Man City for €15 million. Where was he on loan last season? I can't remember. It's your owner. So I think that if he does go to Man City, I know where he's going to end up next season on loan, back at Girona. Right, so that's kind of a weird one. He goes into the City group, pool of players. Isn't it great we have these conversations about the City group, pool of players? I don't see Riquelme going to City for
growing up. Kids say, I want to be part of the City group, is what I say.
So when I saw him link with Man City, I thought, because he was on loan at Girona last year and he's a really good young player. It wouldn't be the worst thing in the world for City to invest $15 million in a good young player and then stick him in Girona for a couple of seasons. Yangel Herrera has been there forever. And see how he progresses. That $15 million might turn into $30-40 million. So that's what will happen there. Cunha, I'm pleased Cunha's coming back, but there's also talk now that Morata will leave.
Right.
That will be sold because you don't need
the jigsaw.
Do you need to keep both? You'd love to keep both if you're going to be playing the one focal point striker up front, but then you've got João Félix. So that's why, my focus is on the outgoings as well that these directors of football have to achieve. You just can't keep everyone with the laws that are in place. The rules are in place from La Liga. So there's even been talk of Griezmann because he's available for €20 million. That's his buyout clause. He's the last player that Atletico would want to leave, the last player Simeone would want to leave. So unless you start moving on these other players to get that wage bill and the stuff down, then that might be the player that you don't want to leave that has to. So there's some issues. Hence the reason I'm surprised they're pretty well stocked at the back. So Inchu, I get Azpilicueta, big wages. I don't get Santiago Moreno. Is he going to be one of these South Americans that goes to Atletico, that goes straight back out on loan again? And they hope that increases his value or gets him valuable experience in the league to play further down the line. It's there's a lot of stuff to be done at Atletico.
Yeah, Right. So the big clubs, it's interesting. They've all done some business, haven't they, early on? And then, as you say, the out business has got to be done. And then the rest, sort of understandably, the rest haven't done as much work, have they? Although, so Villarreal, I think Boulardia has got to go back, I think, hasn't he? And he had a good season in Italy, didn't he? So, again, you might look at that and think he should play. I didn't check his contract, actually, to see how long he's got left on his contract.
I think Danjuma returns as well.
Yeah. So there's a lot, isn't there? And Brereton Diaz has gone in. Have you seen much of Ben Brereton Diaz?
I haven't. No.
I have. He's a very championship kind of player in that strong fella and very direct. And
centre forward?
No, not really, because they would play Gallagher as a centre forward back at Burnley last season, and Brereton Diaz would play from the left side, right footed, but from the left side, always trying to shoot quite direct, quite fast, loves the ball over the top. And then they tried to change the style of play, which, you know, as clubs do. It's an interesting one to see how he does. I don't know is the answer. I don't know how he'll adapt to it. Obviously, he discovered he was Chilean at the age of about 2020 or something, didn't he? So, you know, other than that, he's Ben Brereton and, you know, coming through the England setup and everything, wasn't he? But it's fascinating. I hope he plays regularly. And it's a really good inventive bit of business, I think. I applaud him for going to play.
Totally. Yeah. Oh, it's a massive opportunity for him as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
It really is. Villarreal's a great club.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, they've lost Nico Jackson.
Although,
I'd say that,
we're
talking about a player I really rated in 10 games at the end of last season. Before that was it. So suddenly go for that amount of money, I can totally understand. They'll be hoping Gerard Moreno is fitter on a more regular basis this season. And Paul Torres has left as well.
That's a strange move as well, isn't it? Yeah. In that, because I'm not sure how much he'll play. I don't know what the plan will be at Villa. It just seemed that they're sort of loading up on players a bit, doesn't it? Because they've got Mings, who's a left-sided, who's that club captain and everything, who's left-sided centre-back. But Paul Torres is too good a player to go and fill up a squad, isn't he? So
Paul Torres has to play, surely, Unai Emery's and Monchi now.
Yeah.
They know their stuff. They're not buying squad players from La Liga. They're buying players that are going to play. So I would assume that Tyrone Mings, despite being club on and off captain, Paul Torres has to play.
Yeah.
You're paying that money for him, you're Aston Villa, he'll definitely play. So it's so it's a shame for them to lose those two. But Nicholas Jackson in particular, we're talking about 10 games.
Yeah, and they got 37 million euros, didn't they? But honestly, if someone had said to you in December,
6 months ago,
that he would go for 37 million, you'd think it was crazy.
I mean, they nearly sold him last summer to Bournemouth, didn't they? I don't know what the fee was.
Yeah.
But he failed a medical, spent a lot of time on the bench or not fit this season, and then suddenly burst into life at the end of the season, when he looked fantastic, looked the real deal. But I personally would want more evidence on if I was spending that money than rather a quick burst at the end of one campaign. So, the good money achieved from Villarreal, I might have to eat my words if he suddenly scores 20 goals next year and is worth three times the amount. We'll wait and see.
Yeah, well, it's a wait and see. It's not saying that he'll do badly or anything. It's the same with Brereton Diaz. Yeah. I don't know how he'll do. I'm looking forward to seeing it. I'm not saying he'll do badly because
he might do well. Brereton Diaz.
Oh, it's free.
Free.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a
different case altogether, then, isn't it?
Yeah. So elsewhere, obviously less business elsewhere, which is the way of the world, isn't it? That you wait and see. Because, as we're saying, there's an awful lot of loan players available from the big clubs.
That's the problem. We've had this early burst, and I don't expect it to be busy now until the last couple of weeks, two or three weeks, because then there's a category, a market for the big clubs.
Yeah.
Then there's a market for the mid-table, mid-ranking teams that are looking for bargains, that are spending money sensibly, that haven't got the money to spend like the others. So that's when they'll all be waiting, hoping to pick up someone on a loan or a cheaper transfer. That goes for all leagues. That's the Premier League is exactly the same as La Liga. you know, the Premier League smaller clubs have this now where they've got the riches, but they if you're well run, you don't want to be overpaying for players. Mm. And if you ring up and ask about a player in Europe and his valuation is 10 million and you're being asked 30, you're not going to pay it if you're a well run club.
Yeah.
But wait, and then, you know, before the window closes, then you might get closer to the true valuation. So I don't expect that. And that happens in La Liga. Most of the mid-ranking teams will be looking for to spend their money as wisely as possible.
Yeah.
So well, they'll be looking for
loans. Loic Badé has signed, hasn't he, for Sevilla, which made sense because he had a really good second half of the season.
Huge impact.
Yeah,
huge impact at the club last season. And Sevilla, it's going to be fascinating to watch. Victor Alta, the Leeds director of football, is now there, taking over from Monchi.
I get that because he
was there at Sevilla under Monchi.
Yeah.
So that kind of makes sense.
Unless you look at what he did at Leeds.
Yeah, I know. So that would be interesting to see how Sevilla progress without Monchi.
Mm.
And then Dilibar does. Pellegrini signed a new deal at Betis.
Yeah, but we do have a couple of managers to
that
talk
makes
about.
Sense.
We need to talk about Rafa. So
yes,
right. I can't get Rafa Benitez when you're writing up your Rafa Benitez biography. Where is he in the pantheon of great managers?
Guillaume done one. Yes. Yeah, I'm sure he is. Guillaume done one.
He must. Yeah. Where does he stand in the pantheon of great managers? Because he's won the Champions League, he's won the Europa League, he won
spectacular success.
He won UEFA Cup as it was, and La Liga twice with Valencia.
Yeah,
right. All
20 years ago.
Yeah, spread out a long time, isn't it? All of this. He hasn't had a job since he left Everton.
Liverpool.
He went to China just as they ran out. You know, decided they weren't going to spend money on football anymore. He's made some odd choices, and had some odd performances over the years, isn't he? It's really, I find it really, and this one's a strange one. Like you said, there won't be a lot of money to send at Celta Vigo. They go through managers quite quickly.
That's an understatement. It's three a year
on
average. The last few years, it's been three a year. And they're not all rubbish managers.
Yeah.
And some of them are doing a decent job at the time. I think Caldet was doing a decent job. Carvajal was, and then it faded.
Yeah.
Towards the end of the season, and I kind of understand the methods behind making a change. But then also, I would have understood if they'd stuck with him because there were signs it was, you know, I mean, give him a summer, give him a transfer window and you know, try and put things right. But they do change far too often. As you said, there's not going to be a lot of money spent. There'd be anything spent at Celta. I mean, I think they spent big money on Strand Larsen. Last summer, that was their big signing. Galan leaving is a blow to Rafa Benitez. The 5 million they get for him isn't going to be able to buy a replacement. Won't go far. Gabriel Vega is one that they possibly might sell if someone comes in. Well, if someone comes in and pays the 40 million buyout clause, there's nothing they can do to stop him. That might go some way to giving Rafa Benitez some money.
That's
to spend.
Do you think he has been told that Vega is off and that he will get the money?
Yeah, but it's not the money that Rafa Benitez is used to in the past. That would go on one player, wouldn't it, in the past?
Yeah,
the clubs he's managed. So he's going to have to trust whoever's working behind the scenes along with himself to find other players to come in and make Celta a lot stronger. They've underachieved, I would say that, but what's the level of expectation of Celta Vigo? We're not looking at Celta and thinking top seven European football next season. We're not even thinking that. We're thinking a decent season for Celta would be to keep well out of trouble of relegation. They keep getting dragged near it. They keep having these poor runs of form during the season. They rely too much on Iago Aspas, which cannot continue. By the way, he's trying to get himself to move to Saudi Arabia, which I don't blame him, to be honest. He's a gravy train rattling past Vigo and he wants to jump on it. But he would be a big loss. So there's a lot of work to do at Celta, and it is. I'm surprised. But I guess if you're Rafa Benitez, you're confident in your own ability to go in and make a change. And it would be smashing if he can. It would be great to see another club move up the rankings and to join the likes of Sevilla and Betis and Real Sociedad and Villarreal. It's not impossible. And an Athletic Club and Rio have shown it. They've come close to it. And the Rio's budget is less than Celta's.
So that's when you say what the ceiling is. You look at Osasuna and Rio and...
Yeah.
you think, well, if they can have a crack at Europe, then we can. I suppose that's what you'd say, isn't it? But
yeah,
there have been jobs and clubs that have been up that have more potential than Celta Vigo. And we don't know what these jobs he keeps getting offered. I don't know if that includes TalkSport ringing him up to ask him to do something for free. That might go on the list. Yeah. You know? So we'll see. It's fascinating, isn't it? How do you think Iraola will get on in the Premier League? Gone to Bournemouth.
Right. It's an interesting. I think it's the right move for Bournemouth.
I'm
hoping it's going to be the right move for him. Again, we talk about the expectation levels at Bournemouth are similar to Celta.
Yeah,
it was a big surprise when Gary O'Neill was changed. I kind of get it. You had a rookie manager there that did a good job, but you have a manager, up and coming manager that was lined up for the Sevilla job, was lined up for the Villarreal job. But both teams had spectacular second half of the seasons that made, you know, the clubs think twice about changing Kike Setién and Mendilibar. So therefore, he had to make a choice to leave Rio, which he did. And I think Bournemouth's a good opportunity for him to settle in. And I think he's a huge prospect. I really do. Surprised that he hasn't brought his assistant with him. He's on his own. Come on his own to Bournemouth. He's using the coaching staff that were at the club. I hope he does well. A lot of time. He's a manager that plays to win rather than not to lose.
Yeah.
Which we do see from a lot of managers, and they always get my favourite opinion when that's the case. And he did that at Bryo. Similar job, he's already said it's a similar job at Bournemouth. Small club, small budget, small stadium. But he loves being an underdog. So I think it will be, I think it's hopefully he does well. And creates a good impression. People in England probably won't know too much about him, other than what they've read. But I think he's a terrific young manager. Really
and,
do.
And Francisco has gone into Rayo Vallecano and Vicente Moreno to Almeria.
Bordalesa has stayed at Getafe.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I didn't think he was going to. No. It seemed like they were forcing him to manage at the end of last season. he came back as a favour. Then he said he was off, and then he's ended up staying. So that's a feather in the cap, I think, for Getafe. I think Getafe and Bordalesa are a good match.
Cool. So we'll be back. We'll do something exclusively for Patreons coming up as well. And then obviously we'll be back. I go away on holiday. We don't time our holidays well. For all my kids now, for the first year, neither of them are in school now because my son's just done GCSEs. But my wife's the teacher, so I still have to wait until the prices are full prices. Before I go on holiday. We're around for a while now. We'll do some Patreon stuff, and then we'll come back and we'll do predictions. And hopefully, there'll be more transfer news and everything else as the summer goes on, as well.
It will be.
And then we'll get everyone involved on the predictions, they're not bad, the predictions that we do. And we'll start to try and make some judgments on, the winners and losers in the transfer market at the moment, though it's too early to say because it is just turning that of the old transfer wheel. So thank you very much for your support. If you want to join us on Patreon, patreon.com/LTEL, and we'll see you for another podcast soon.